Hey, welcome back. This is the Dwelling Richly Bible Study, Acts, Seeds of the Gospel. And this is lesson one, and we're on day one. I'm Jennifer Richmond, and I'm really glad you're here. Hopefully, you already have your Bible study downloaded. You can go to my blog page, jennifergrichmond.com, and just go over to the Bible study page. You'll see the Acts, Seeds of the Gospel logo there. Click on that and scroll down, and you'll see a place to download that, and you'll be able to get your own Bible study right there. Ta-da! All right. So go ahead and download that. Whether you're listening right now on YouTube, on my podcast, on the Dwelling Richly podcast, or maybe over on Facebook, welcome. I'm really glad you're here. We're going to dive in with prayer and start our lesson one Bible study right now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for our time together. Your word is powerful and we need it in our life. As we go into your word right now, I pray that you bless our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. What's everybody doing today? Are you guys doing good? You got your Bible ready? You got your coffee? Where'd my coffee go? Yay. I got my Women in Apologetics coffee mug a couple years ago, and I love it. I love the color. I love the shape of it. I love Women in Apologetics. Who are my Women in Apologetics friends out there? Yeah? Well, make sure you leave me a message. Give me a comment. Let me know what you're interested in learning more about. And we'll continue to incorporate those types of things, by the way, in our lessons. I always try to just gear us to what we're interested in and thinking about and caring about in our life. So let's go ahead and get into the lesson. I'm going to share the screen with you and show you how you can look it up too. Maybe you haven't had a chance to do that. Let's go here. What you're going to want to do is go to jennifergrichmond.com and you'll see Bible studies right there on that front landing page. Click that icon that shows you the logo of our Acts Bible study. And then if you'll scroll through that, you'll see the introduction. You can read through that. And then you'll see the playlist. And right above the playlist is a place for you to download the study pages. You can complete them online. You can print them off. You can come by the church at any time, by the way, and print them off there as well. They're here online. It's convenient. You can even open this on your Kindle if you want to. So let me go ahead and scroll to lesson one, day one, and I will read this with you. You guys can follow along and then we'll complete the lesson together. I was talking to somebody about how I started doing these Bible study podcasts, and it happened because a few years back I was working with a group of women, and there were a couple of women in the group who had some visual impairment issues. And so it was hard for them to read the lesson. And so I would sit with them and just go over the lesson and read it to them and help them answer it. Really sweet and really neat to see them so motivated that they wanted that, but they felt like they had to quit because they couldn't really read it. So we ended up meeting together one-on-one, or actually the two of them and myself. And then I realized I wasn't going to always be there to read it, so I started recording it for them. And then I thought, well, maybe other people would enjoy the recordings also. And so here we are today. It's been 3 years now, and I've been doing these podcasts ever since. So anyway, I thought maybe you'd enjoy hearing the backstory to that. That's all it is. All right. Lesson one, day one, in your study, make sure you've read the whole page here, and then also the introduction. If you skip that, go back and read that introduction. It'll help you understand where we're going and maybe answer questions for you that you might come across as you do. But I'll go ahead and read this, and you just follow along as you're listening at home. So read this first, then begin the study on page 8. Welcome to our first day together in the Seeds of the Gospel study through Acts. Are you excited and ready? Maybe you decided this study is going to be your best yet. You made sure to set aside time in your busy schedule so you won't get swamped and let the lesson go to the last moment. Maybe it's your first time ever doing a Bible study and you have no idea what to expect. Wherever you are, whatever your expectations, here's one thing that you can count on. I'm praying for you. It's true. When I wrote that page, when I wrote that sentence, I literally stopped writing and just prayed. God, just bless the people who are reading this study right now. So that's you. So each lesson is laid out basically the same. Every step is designed to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So begin each day with prayer, meditate, and memorize. Write the key verse in the top box. Dwell, reflect, and write the word. Write the word pages are included at the end of each lesson. As you begin, I want you to know two things. One, you have an advocate. Jesus himself is praying for you. Imagine that. It's pretty amazing, don't you think? I mean, it's true. You are doing a good thing by getting into God's word. Staying faithful and focused isn't always going to be easy. So right here and right now, think about how cool it is that Jesus is advocating for you, cheering you on, making a way for you to do well in this venture. Number two, you have an enemy. It's true. And it's only discouraging if you forget number one. Satan, the Bible says, is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That's you. You may find that more and more any other time in your life, you have scheduling challenges, emotional weakness, mental fatigue, relationship issues, you name it. Anything at all to get in the way of you getting into the word. So, with these two things in mind, here's some practical tips for making sure you're successful in this study. And hopefully this is helpful for you to remember, because I started every word with the letter P. So here we go. Pray. First is pray. Get armored up. Tell God that you want his blessing as you schedule, study, think, and get into his word. God will answer that kind of prayer with a big, fat, awesome yes. If you ever wanted to know what are the prayers that God answers with yes, I'll tell you right now, when you pray that God would help you to understand his word, God's going to answer that with yes. Next is partner. Connect with someone else in your group so you can have the encouragement and the accountability as well. You can send encouraging texts, make calls, meet up with your partners, and just encourage one another. So pray and partner. Next is plan. You didn't just show up to your last dentist appointment. You didn't just miraculously find time for that date with a friend. Your car didn't just magically repair itself while you were sleeping. You saw a need. You made time to make sure that it all happened. Plan now for the time you'll spend in Bible study. It won't just happen. So pray, partner, plan, and then prioritize. I bet you brushed your teeth today. Maybe you even flossed. You probably went to the dentist too at some point in the last year. Why? Well, you value your teeth and you want them to look nice and not fall out of your head. You made dental health a priority because you know the consequences are pretty ugly if you don't. And guess what? Your spiritual health is even more valuable. So make it a priority. So we have pray, partner, plan, prioritize. And right now, as you're watching this, I'd like you to leave a comment and let me know which one of those do you find comes most naturally to you and which one is the one that you find most challenging. And maybe there's one, maybe there's even two that are easy or challenging. Drop a comment right now and let me know which one of those are most easy and which one of those is most challenging. Praying, partnering, planning, and prioritizing. I'd love to hear from you about that. All right, well, let's go ahead on to lesson one, day one. And we always begin every lesson the same. We pray and we get into the word by writing out our memory verse. And this week, our memory verse, or these next 2 weeks, our memory verse is Acts 4, 7. So let me do this and open up another screen so we can go into Bible Gateway. This is a great online Bible resource, by the way. It's really helpful for me, of course, because here I am typing it in so you can quickly see it on the screen. So I use this a lot to help myself hop over and get the verses. Hopefully you'll learn to use things like this as well if you're not already doing that. Bible Gateway, and there's several other Bible resources. Actually, I'd love to know what your favorite Bible resource online is. Maybe you use your phone. So drop that in the comments. I'd love to hear from you. And then other people can read those and they can get tips and ideas as well. And actually, those of you who already left a comment about which one of the P's is easy or which one is hard for you, pray, partner, plan, and prioritize, that'll help other people as well, because other people will see your comments and go, oh, that's a good idea, or that helps me also, and maybe you guys can connect in that way. It's all about community, so let's do that together. All right, so hold on just a quick second. I think I'm doing this right, and that'd be awful if I forgot to hit the record button all along. No, I got it. Okay. So our Bible verse that we're going to write in that box goes like this. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Acts 4:12. All right. So take some time to write that down. What's nice about watching this right now is really you can just pause it. So when you get to this point, pause, write out your Bible verse, old school, just write it in there, and it'll help you to learn. I do encourage you to hand write things out. You might type also, but there is something very kinetic and energizing about handwriting. It does make a unique pathway in the brain, studies have shown, actually, when we actually get a pen and paper and write things out. There's more of a tactile experience involved in that. All right. So dwelling in the word is next. Our scripture focus is from Luke 24, 13 to 53. And here's a tip for today. Join the online study. You probably are. I teach, that's me. Jennifer teaches each day of the lesson, and you can go back to page 4 to see the connection points on that. All right. Of course, I'm kind of preaching to the choir if you're listening to my voice right now. So let's take a look at Luke chapter 24. And before we begin, I'm going to go ahead and read through the questions. It's just a good way to know where we're going before we head out. Number one is to write Acts 2:14 on your write the word pages at the end of this lesson. Oh, let me go ahead and scroll down to that. We are going to be writing through the book of Acts. In previous Bible studies, we've written in the entire book that we've been studying. But for this particular study, we're going to just be, I'm going to be isolating some of the key sermons throughout Acts, and we're going to write those sermons out. So that'll be Acts 2:14 to 28. I've divided it up into easy little chunks for you each time we meet together. So go ahead and take time to pause right now and go to the Write the Word pages. I'm going to hop back up as you are getting ready to do that. All right. So go to the Write the Word page and write Acts 2:14 at the end of the lesson. All right. Number two, read Luke 1:1-4 and Acts 1:1, to whom were both of those books written? And then what can you learn about the author from reading the following? And we'll read from, you know, Luke, like we said up there, Colossians, 2 Timothy, and so on. Then we'll read through Luke 24 and answer the questions. What event? What are the two disciples seeing? Feeling at first, what happens to change their outlook, and what does Jesus tell them in verse 49, promise, a command, a sign, and then I'll close with the reflect on the word. Let's go ahead, and I was going to start with Luke 24, but I'm going to go ahead and start here with Luke 1:1-4 and Acts 1:1, just so we can answer this first question coming up. All right. And in case you hadn't noticed, if it's in blue underline and you're online, that means you can click through and that will take you to the scripture page. Isn't that great? So if you're online, you can just bounce around and use this. If you aren't familiar with using the Bible, it can be a help, but honestly, it can kind of be a hindrance as well. Because if you're constantly only using online resources, you'll never really learn to understand and see where the Bible is and where Luke is in relation to Acts or Song of Solomon in relation to Ezekiel and different books of the Bible. There is something to be said about literally turning the pages yourself. So. But for the ease of being online together with you, we'll do that instead. All right, here we go. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainly concerning certainty concerning the things that you have been taught. And then Acts 1:1, in the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach. So let's go back to the lesson. To whom were both books written? Did you see it there? He says it right here. He's long intro. He mentions Theophilus there. That's the author. And then we have Theophilus mentioned here. All right. So to whom were they both written? This guy named Theophilus. All right, scholars have deduced that the author of the third Gospel of Acts and of Acts is Luke. Even though none of these books directly bear his name, the style of writing is the same. The language of both is written, which is Greek, is very advanced. And Luke's medical details all connect him as the author of both. So we know Luke is the author, even though it doesn't say that. And he writes both of these accounts to someone he knew named Theophilus. What can you learn about the author from reading the following? Luke 1:3, about his goal and purpose in writing. Let's go back and take a look. 1:3. It seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely. He's attentive to detail. He's writing an orderly account for you. He's organized. He's systematic. And let's see. I want to get it highlighted, but it only wants to highlight one or the other. Anyway, all things closely, orderly account, and that you might have certainty concerning the thing. So what does that tell you about the author? He's concerned about details. He's been exacting in his research. He's taken his time, and he has a desire that people know the truth, in particular, this man named Theophilus. Let's learn about his profession by looking up Colossians chapter 4, verse 14. Again, we're reading out of the ESV. Read out of whatever translation you want, but just for continuity, I'll be reading out of the ESV for this lesson. Luke, here he is, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. So what's his occupation? He's a doctor. He's a physician. And then 2 Timothy 4:11 and Philemon 1:24 give us more details about him. In this one, we want to find out about his partners. Luke is alone with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful for me for ministry. All right. So you would have to know a little bit of background details to understand this question and get the answer correct. But this book of the Bible that I'm getting the quote from here is written to a guy named Timothy. And it was written by a man named Paul, who we are going to meet and come to know very well in the book of Acts. So partnering with Timothy, Mark, and Paul here. And then in Philemon, Paul again writing. And the letter is called Philemon. It's just this one long, one chapter letter. So we have Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke. And here we have Demas was mentioned in the previous reference as well. So these are some of the names of the contemporaries of this man named Luke. All right, read Luke 24, 13 to 53. What just happened? I think I already had that one called up. Oh yeah, it's over here. Here we go. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Now, just for context and making sure you understand this, I'm going to show you that. Footnotes here, and not the footnotes, the headings. You can change the settings here. But Jesus has resurrected. And so this is in toward the end of the Gospel of Luke. And Jesus has died, was buried, and he is now resurrected. And I jumped ahead in the story, and we are on that day of his resurrection because it says that very day. That's where this story picks up. All right, here we go. That very day, two of them are going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, which is where his crucifixion and everything happened. And they were talking with each other about these things that had happened. When they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation you're holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. And one of them said, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" I mean, again, remember, this is Jesus talking, so he definitely knows what things. He's playing dumb. He's trying to get them to talk, right? And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he would be the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things have happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning. And when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him that they did not see. And he said to them," now this is Jesus speaking again, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." So they drew near. Let me double check that I asked you to read further, all the way to 53. Let's do it. So they drew near to the village where they were going. He acted as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, "Stay. Stay with us, for it's toward evening and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And then he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, Did not our hearts burn within us while we talked with him, us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose that same hour and they returned to Jerusalem and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathering. That would be the 11 out of the 12 disciples that remain. Because if you recall the story, Judas commits suicide after he betrays and turns Jesus in. So the remaining 11 disciples are there and they're gathered together and they're saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he has made known to them in the breaking of the bread. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still believed for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything to eat here?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. That sounds good. Broiled fish, eating it with Jesus. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written." Oh, I just lost my spot. "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in the name of to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up to heaven, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. Wow, that's quite an account there. All right. So what has just happened? Well, Jesus has died and then he was resurrected. And how are the two disciples feeling at first? Well, they're really sad, disappointed, disillusioned. Like, we thought this guy was going to be the one and he's not. And what happens to change their outlook? Well, Jesus reveals himself to them and he explains the scriptures and then he lets them see really who he is. What does Jesus tell them in verse 49? Let's take it back a look, and I want us to think in terms of these three things: a promise, a command, and a sign. "And behold, I am sending you the promise of my Father upon you." All right. So, first of all, a promise of what to come. Well, he says to them, "I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you." If you recall from your scripture reading before, some of you who might be familiar with this, he had promised to send the Holy Spirit. And that's what that reference is right there. You don't need to know that for the answer. You can just straight out say this scripture. What's the promise? "I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you." You know, when I write these studies, I recognize the reality that I am writing to people who have just barely even begun to open up the Bible and have never done a study at all. And I'm also writing a study for people who've been in the Bible their entire life and probably have maybe even read this particular chapter. Maybe some of you are at the point where you've actually taught this chapter to other people before. So I have this wide range is what I'm saying. And so I try to write the study in such a way that it would still be challenging to those of you who kind of been there, done that, and know it. I don't want you to have that feeling that it's just, "I already learned that." I want you to really embrace the scripture. And then for those of you who are just getting started, I don't want you to feel overwhelmed, but I want you to feel challenged to push yourself a little bit to understand. So don't worry if you don't say it exactly the way I'm wording it. Say it the way you understand it and then learn and grow. Just like when you were in kindergarten and you were barely learning to tie your shoes, you did ultimately learn, right? But at the beginning, it was more challenging. And then when you're in sixth grade, you're the one helping the little kindergartners tie their shoes. So we're in the same boat in our spiritual growth as well. Some of us are just getting started and we're learning and we're trying to figure it out and we're not sure if we're doing it right and we're looping it around and pulling it and then it comes undone. And others of us are further along and we're able to help, but we should also be eager to learn as well. I hope that's where you are. All right. And then a command of where to be. He says, stay in the city. And what was that city, if you remember? Exactly, Jerusalem. Good job. And then finally, a sign of what would happen. What does he say? He says, stay in the city until what? You are clothed with power from on high. what does that even mean? All right. So those of you who know the story will go, well, I know exactly what that means. Well, that you only know what it means because you've read the story. But picture what these guys would have been thinking, what these men and women who are listening right now to him speak would have been going, what does that even mean? Clothed with power from on high. It's kind of exciting, but they didn't know exactly. All right. So you don't know either. Let's just pretend. All right. We're going to close here. And I'm just going to share this closing word in this reflect on the word moment. Have you ever tried to write out the details of an important event? The romantic glow of your first date, the story of how you met your best friend, your dream vacation. It's hard to capture the experience and do it justice, isn't it? Now imagine Luke trying to relate the life of Christ, then going on to write an account of the explosion of the church from a nothing little spot in Jerusalem to the farthest regions of the entire Roman Empire. John said it well in his gospel. Now, there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. That's from John 21, verse 25. As we close this first day, let's pray that God would help us to grasp the glory and the power of the gospel, and more so, that he would let that truth completely transform us in every corner of our lives, our marriages, our friendships, families, jobs, our communities, and beyond. Like the gossamer fluff of a dandelion, the seeds of the gospel were caught up in the wind of the Holy Spirit, and the good news was spread across the world. Our journey through Acts will bring us up close to this amazing account and inspire us to live boldly in Christ like those early missionaries did. Well, that brings us to the close of lesson one, day one. I look forward to being with you together in our next lesson, which is coming up next in this playlist. So stay tuned and listen. Hey, don't forget to hit that subscribe button if you're listening on YouTube, or that follow if you're listening over there on Facebook or wherever it is. And set your alarms on the YouTube or Facebook, wherever it is, so you get notifications as well whenever I post a new one of these videos. All right. Thanks again for being here with me in today's lesson. And I look forward to being with you in our future lessons. And as always, know that you are loved and prayed for. Bye-bye for now.